And I'm Lyndall Johnson, one of the Sims local Dharma leaders, and I'll be talking this week about this third ox herding picture, perceiving the bull. Now, over the last couple of weeks, both Lauren and Susan have shared some of their personal reactions and reflections on the picture and the poem, and I'll do something of the same today. And, you know, one of the things that's been so interesting on our journey with these ox herding pictures is how much our exploration of them really is connected with our own personal experience of the Dharma and our own personal experience of this path. And we all have our own unique views. With some of the pictures, we feel a really strong connection. We really see this phase as something happening in our own practice. But with others, we might really struggle to find ourselves in our experience in what's portrayed in the picture, in the poem. But whatever your response, that's totally fine because this is your journey. It's not the journey someone else is having or the one that you think you should feel like you should have, but it's your own actual journey. So with that in mind, we're going to start today by giving us all a little time to reconnect with this third picture and verse and our own relationship with it, however you might feel, whatever it is. So could maybe Susan share the picture again? So taking a moment first just to look at the picture, allowing whatever might come to mind, to come to mind, feelings you have about it, thoughts you have about it. Some that maybe you have experienced before, maybe something new. And then I'll read the poem and listening to the words, just getting in touch with whatever arises for you. I hear the song of the nightingale. The sun is warm. The wind is mild. Willows are green along the shore. Here no bull can hide. What artist can draw that massive head? Those majestic horns. Just letting that sink in for a few moments. Reconnecting with your own relationship to the picture and the words. So now some of my thoughts about this picture. First, I'd like to begin by saying that I'm really happy to be here today and to be able to talk a little bit about this third ox herding picture, because it's one of my favorites of this whole collection and one that I feel an especially strong connection with. And in the version of the ox herding pictures that we've been looking at, this third picture sometimes looks like it's called seeing the bull or perceiving the bull. But in other presentations, I've seen it called the first glimpse of the ox. And I kind of like that description because it really captures what this picture means to me. That first glimpse for myself of the power of the practice and the power of the Dharma. And this is something that Lauren and Susan both talked about earlier this month, each in her own way, describing some moment of feeling for the first time, you know, wow, there's really something to this. There's something special and powerful here. Something for me. Something that I can experience in my own life. And that's a very powerful feeling. You know, it's that place where we go from thinking of the Dharma as maybe an interesting theory or a way that, you know, a technique we might use to feel a little bit more calm or whatever ideas we might have had, to our own personal experience of this, wow, this is really something. So for me, this first glimpse of the ox happened on my first retreat. And when I started out on that quest, I was more like the seeker in picture number two. I really didn't have much idea of where I was going, but I did have those tracks, you know, the instructions of the teachers, the form of the retreat. And so I was willing to follow and see what happened. And at first, everything was quite unfamiliar and strange. And I kind of felt like my mind was in a straitjacket, you know, struggling to stay with the breath, to follow the instructions, to stay with the sensations of the body as it was moving during the walking. I mean, all those things that we try to do when we're on retreat or doing a day long. And I remember during that time how much I looked forward to the lunch period when we'd have some free time. And I'd have an opportunity just to go for a walk and let my mind go free to think and daydream and get lost and do all of those things it was accustomed to doing instead of trying to focus on the present moment. And yet I found that as the days went by, I got to the point where somehow I really didn't want my mind to be doing all of those things it was accustomed to doing. What I wanted more was that feeling of just being present for whatever I was experiencing. The cool breeze, the sound of the rustling leaves, the song of a bird. It's kind of like the experience that goes along with the poem in picture three. I hear the song of the nightingale. The sun is warm. The wind is mild. Willows are green along the shore. You know, so just that. The feeling of how wondrous just that was. What was present. And I remember feeling at this time this sense of, you know, if I'm just present for what's here right now, I really don't need anything else. I don't need anything else. And that was my sense of, wow, this is really something here. There's really something to this practice. Lauren mentioned in her talk at the beginning of this month how as the month progressed, we'd get into some expert commentary about these pictures. So I think I'll provide you with a little bit of commentary from the version of the ox herding pictures that's in Philip Kaplow's book, Three Pillars of Zen. And this commentary is attributed to the 12th century Chinese Zen master, Guan Xinyuan. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's his name. And I think it might help to illuminate what's going on for the seeker in this picture. So the commentary says, if he will but listen intently to everyday sounds, he, meaning the seeker, will come to realization and that at that interest see the very source. The six senses are no different from this true source. In every activity, the source is manifestly present. It is analogous to the salt in water or the binder in paint. When the inner vision is properly focused, one comes to realize that that which is seen is identical with the true source. So letting that sink in for a minute. Now, on that first retreat that I had, there's no way I would have expressed my experience in these words, and I'm not even sure what I would have made of these words. although maybe hearing them, I might have felt some sort of feeling of heart resonance with what was being said. And even now, the words I would use to describe my experience are different, although I think they're in the same spirit. For me, maybe more that the experience was something like catching a glimpse or having a brief realization of the sacredness of the present moment. So a glimpse that we obtain from really giving our attention to those everyday sounds, to our present moment's experience, through the senses, through the body. Not what we think about it, but what we actually perceive right there and right then. When Lauren and Susan talked, they also described experiences like this, having to do with recognizing the power of mindfulness, experiencing a true connection with the present moment's experience in its totality. And I think for a lot of us, we might describe that first glimpse of the ox in kind of these terms. Maybe something like, I felt I was really seeing and hearing and tasting almost as if for the first time. Or I felt I was finally connected with my body and with my experience. Or I felt alive as I rarely had before. Things like that. In the version of the poem in the Philip Kaplow book, there's a slightly different translation I'd like to share with you because I really like it. And it says, a nightingale warbles on a twig. The sun shines on undulating willows. There stands the ox. Where could he hide? So just as in this version of the poem we've been studying, maybe when we first catch that glimpse of the ox, we, the seeker, we're fully aware of the nature around us. We're fully aware of our sense experiences. And somehow in the midst of that, there stands the ox. Where could he hide? Then the poem goes on to say, that splendid head, those stately horns, what artists could portray them? And interestingly enough, in the picture, the splendid head and the stately horns aren't portrayed. So it's kind of if the seeker is saying, yes, I see, there's the ox. And yet, I can't describe this ox, really. I don't know how to say what it is in words. I'm not even sure I really quite know what it is I'm seeing. I know I don't see all of it, and yet there he is, the ox. And so I think that's the way it is for us too. You know, somehow we reach this place where we know for ourselves, oh, this is a special and powerful thing, this path I've embarked on. And yet we don't really know truly, deeply what that realization means. For instance, in my own example, having had that sense that this place of awareness and presence was something really special, I really didn't know much for myself about the most important Buddhist teachings. I really didn't know much at all about the Four Noble Truths. I didn't know very much about the three characteristics of dukkha or anicca or impermanence or anatta of non-self, except maybe for hearing about them in books or in talks. But for myself, no, I really didn't understand. I just knew enough to know that there was something wonderful and powerful here in this practice for me, and I wanted to know more. And as we reflect on this picture and verse, maybe many of us will remember and reconnect with that moment in our own practice when we really felt, ah, this is it. Wow, there's really something powerful here. For me, this came in the form of an intense connection with the present moment, kind of similar to what was described in the commentary, but for some of you, maybe it was a little different. Maybe it was an experience of deep rest and peace, or a moment of joy and hope that somehow held with it a promise of freedom. Or maybe it was a moment when some burden of grief or anger or self-hatred that you've been carrying around for ages and ages was lightened, even if only for a second. So it's different for all of us, yet we all have that something that tells us, you know, yes, this is the way for me, the glimpse of the ox. I'd also like to share with you some commentary from the Zen master John Daido Lori from his book, Riding the Ox Home. And so this isn't an exact quote. This is kind of a paraphrase, but he says in this book that when we glimpse the ox, even for just a very short period of time, we see the true nature of reality clearly. So it's kind of like the other commentary. And then he goes on to say that yet in that glimpse, we're not quite clear what we're seeing. We might try to explain it. We distance ourselves from the experience with our thoughts. We might even doubt whether we really even saw anything. And yet we do know that, yes, there's something here. And then he goes on to say that what's ahead of us on this spiritual path may be the process of affirming that glimpse. In his words, he says, what rests ahead of us on the spiritual path is the uninterrupted training of learning how to appreciate and trust the direct experience and the mystery that is unspeakable. So it's sort of learning to really know and trust that glimpse of the mystery that we have when we have the glimpse of the ox. So that first glimpse of the ox is an important point in the practice for all of us, however we experience it. And I think it can be a source of real inspiration as we go forward. Because whatever happens, however discouraged we might feel with the way our practice is going in comparison how we think it should be going, always there's a gap here, we can remember that glimpse of the ox. And remember that we know for ourselves that there's something here. And that can be an important force in keeping us going on the path. We might fall into difficulty. We might fall in confusion. In fact, we will fall into difficulty and confusion. We know that. But there's a place where we do know that there's something of value here. And this falling into confusion, discouragement, and difficulty is something we've been talking about all along. How these ox herding pictures are not just linear, but cyclical. How we return to the confusion of picture one, the sense of possible guidance and hope in picture two, maybe that glimpse of the truth we have in picture three over and over again. And the verse of picture three also gives us some good advice about what to do when we are caught in discouragement and confusion. As the commentary says, if one will but listen intently to everyday sounds, one will come to realization and that interest, and then that interest see the very source. So as the poem says, a nightingale warbles on a twig, the sun shines on the undulating willows. So returning to the present moment, returning to what you're experiencing right now with your six senses and with this everyday thing, with these everyday things, we do see the source of all things. It's kind of like the advice that Buddha gave to Bhagya in the sutras when Bhagya asked him what was the simplest way to reach enlightenment. And the Buddha said, Bhagya, this is how you should train yourself. When for you in what is seen is just the seen. When what is heard is only the heard. In what is sensed is only the sensed. In what is cognized is only the cognized. Then, Bhagya, there is no you in connection with what is seen, heard, sensed, or cognized. There is no you there. When there is no you there, you are neither here nor there or anywhere in between this and only this is the end of stress and unhappiness. So this advice advises us to just return to the very simplest thing, the sensations of the breath, the feeling of the body moving, the nightingale warbling on the twig, the sun shining on the undulating willows. Just this, and this is the place where you will find your answer. For any of you who are new to the practice, or perhaps not so very new to the practice, but feel as if you really haven't had that glimpse of the ox, that advice is for you too. Listen to the nightingale warbling on the twig. See the sun shining on the undulating willows. And you too will catch that glimpse of the ox, as the verse says. Where could he hide? So let's just sit together for a few moments. Kind of let the words sink in and then fade away. A nightingale warbles on a twig. The sun shines on undulating willows. There stands the ox. Where could he hide? That splendid head, those stately horns. What artists could portray them? What rests ahead of us on the spiritual path is the uninterrupted training of learning how to appreciate and trust the direct experience and the mystery that is unspeakable. So thanks so much, everybody, for your kind attention today. And now we have some time for small group discussion. And for those of us who aren't able to stay right now, and you can say goodbye, and lots of thanks, big thanks for joining us on what might be a pretty busy weekend. And I know that many of you might have other commitments. It's going to be a busy day for me too, because my family is coming over for dinner this afternoon. So once we're done here, I have to rush and get ready for that. So if you do have other needs and obligations, we completely understand, and we appreciate that you've taken the time to be with us this day. So for those who need to go, a few moments to allow people to do that. Okay, so I will go ahead then. It looks at this as if those who need to go have gone. So I will go ahead and start our breakout groups. And I would encourage you in your discussion today to just share, as you feel comfortable sharing, a little bit about where you see yourself in this picture and this verse about perceiving the bull or catching the first glimpse of the ox. Does it resonate with you? Maybe you have your own sense of first glimpse of the ox to share. Or maybe it feels very strange and unfamiliar. Either way is fine. But just sharing something about that with the rest of the group. Maybe about that advice in the commentary about the way to really perceive that sacredness of the moment is through attuning yourself to everyday sounds, through mindfulness of what's occurring right now. So talking about your own experience with glimpsing the ox, or perhaps not glimpsing the ox, and we'll have about 15 minutes or so for talk. So I will create the rooms and have a wonderful discussion. So now we have some time for you to share anything you would like to from your discussions, ask any questions, make any comments. So if you have something that you would like to share, you can indicate that with the little reaction button, you know, raising your hand with the little reaction button. And then I will call on you, and you can unmute yourself and say what you would like to say. So it looks like Charlotte, you're up first. So the floor is yours.
Thank you. And thank you for that really wonderful talk. It was very illuminating and helpful. When I look at the ox in this picture, I was telling the small group that I see a relaxed ox. Its body seems to be comfortable. And I still keep seeing that wolf on, up on top. And so the combination of the danger of the wolf, the relaxation of the ox, and the beautiful poem about paying attention to nature really gave me a lot of comfort, because I can be relaxed, and maybe that's the key, is to not look for danger, but to be aware and just live with it. Anyway, thank you.
Well, thank you too for that commentary. And I remember in some of the earlier talks, Lauren and Susan mentioned that too, about that sense of it being a relaxed place and a calm place, you know, with the rich grasses and the warm wind. And so that also points to that sense that we can really see clearly and catch that glimpse of the ox when we're in a place where we have a sense of safety and relaxation. So I think that's a really important point, and thank you for bringing that up. So many thanks, Charlotte. Thanks. And let's see. Next, it looks like we have Sheila.
Hi, Lindsay. Thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed that talk today, too. And just maybe following up on what Charlotte said, you know, in our group, we were talking about Sangha. And I have been finding through COVID and being part of this Sangha that this is a relaxed Sangha. It is, I would say it's the most relaxed Sangha that I know of, you know. Yes, I know. And I'm sort of not a local, right? I'm from Canada and pretty far away. And that's what I like about it. I feel a sense of ease in this Sangha and comfort. And to me, that is one of the most important things. Like, I would not have opened my mouth a year ago to say anything, you know. And that is really, to me, vitally important. But going, I just wanted to say a little bit about the picture, which I didn't bring up in our group. But to me, actually, just this morning when I re-looked at it, it was interesting, because I thought, okay, I'm seeing the ox. I'm not seeing a head. I'm seeing, you know, an ass, you know, the back end of an ox. Like, where's the significance? And then to me, the metaphor appeared that to me, it was about get out of my head. You know, the thinking process, which all my life, you know, people, teachers, therapists, you know, whatever else, all have said the same thing. Get out of your head, you know, get out of the thinking mind, you know, get into the body, get into the embodiment of it. And that just struck me this morning, you know, for the first time, that for me, yes, there's a really good reason why I'm seeing the body and I'm not seeing the head symbolizing the mind here. So that felt actually really, really important to me today. Oh, thank you.
Thank you too for sharing that insight. And yeah, that bottom, that ass of the ox, it really does have this sort of down to earth quality, doesn't it? Which is kind of what that connection with body experience, felt experience really is. So it does express it in that picture. That as well as the incompleteness. But thank you for bringing up that part too about this. It's not about the idea, but about the actual physical and felt reality. So as I think, you know, in the commentary, that's one of this big things, is to sort of move from just our idea about the thing to the full experience of the thing. So thank you so much. The ox kind of symbolizes that too. Thank you. And now we have Sean or Bruce. I'm not sure who.
Hi, I'm Sean. I'm so glad, Sheila, that you mentioned about the ox's butt, because that was the first thing I saw. The first time I saw the picture, just this big butt, you know. And anyway, so today, and so I've been thinking about it, and today I realized that what I saw in that part of the ox was strength of the muscle, the musculature of the legs and the butt muscles, and it's just so strong. And I was sharing in our group that at times that I'm just feeling lost, you know, that I've just gotten off track and lost, and I just can't even grab a hold of any part of the head of the ox, that I know that I have a strength inside of me. And that's really important, to just know that I'm strong, you know, that I'm eventually going to work myself through whatever it is that's going on. And I also wanted to say too about this Sangha. This is the most relaxed, warm Sangha that I've ever been in. I've been in a lot of different Sanghas, and I attribute that to two things. One is all of you teachers. You're so welcoming from the very beginning, that it creates a really warm, safe, loving space, and that everyone who seems to turn up here on Sundays, it's so easy to be able to talk in the little groups. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I really appreciate everybody. It's like going to Sunday school as a kid, you know, just there's a sweetness. Yeah. Oh,
thank you. That's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Well, I think we'd better leave it here too with our commentary, because I know there are quite a few announcements. And Suze is going to do our announcements closing. So I will let Suze take the floor for our ending here.
So again, thank you all for your presence and your practice, your willingness to share and to be connected with each other. And we're so grateful, not only that we got the first glimpse of the ox and got on the path, but that we have these opportunities to practice together. We offer whatever merit has come from our time together. We send it out to those of us in our small community. May people be safe, protected, have health and vitality, and freedom from suffering. And we send that out to the larger world, sending our heartfelt desire for safety and peace, goodwill and ease. feel free to unmute and say farewell. We look forward to seeing you all again soon.